Oi, oi, and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, my good friend, South Dan Chum, bearded legend, the very dapper Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode number 93 of the Orient Outlook podcast, and we have a lot of news and fan views to share with you this week, especially following Saturday's match against Carlisle and Danny Webb's decision to leave Alex Chisser out the squad, despite him being arguably our best player this season. So let's crack on with the show. And as always, we start with an update from our friends over at the Supporters Club.
Yep. So two travels to tell you about. Firstly, Coach is going to Plymouth on Tuesday the 14th of February, so it's Valentine's Day, so easy to remember. Coaches leave at 1 p.m, kicks off at 7:45. Travel costs are £30 and £27 for concessions, with a £3 surcharge to non-members. And coaches are going to Newport on Saturday 4th of March, and the more the weeks go by, the more this trip seems like a massive, vital, huge game. So if you can get down there, get yourself there. Coaches leave at 8:30 for a 3 o'clock kickoff and will cost £27 and £24 for concessions. You can book both of these trips at the Supporters Club on match days or on the travel line on 07722 135 970.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also had an update from the Leighton Orient Trusts that says a big thanks to new gaffer Danny Webb, who spent some time with a cohort of students from the Leighton Orient Trust at the training ground during the week. As a teacher on the BTEC sport and leisure course himself just 3 years ago, Danny has a special association with the learning project and answered questions on health, fitness and training regimes, as well as more personal items such as his relationship with his dad, ex-Chelsea legend David Webb, and how his father had inspired him. An interesting fact that emerged was that although not intending to pursue a coaching career, he now much prefers the role compared to his playing days.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and considering he was only made manager last Sunday, to still go and do that piece of work for the trust when he must have been busy, obviously, with everything that's going on. Fair play to Danny.
Yeah, 100%.
The update also goes on to say the trust would also like to announce their nomination for the Community Player of the Year, which is the calendar year for 2016, is Sandro Semedo. Sandro has attended countless events promoting the Trust's college course from where he was spotted and continues to inspire his peers and new students who aspire to be the best they can. He also recently hosted a tour of the training ground for new students and answered questions on his life and football journey. We wish Sandro the best of luck and hope he can make the shortlist for the EFL award announced later this month. And obviously we will keep you posted on that, and hopefully, fingers crossed, yeah, Sandro does make that shortlist. And you know, we've done some great work in the community. I think Omazuzi got nominated about 2 years ago.
It was a surefire winner for that, and someone else won that, and it was a travesty.
Absolutely.
It was a real, considering Elliot's background at the time.
Yes,
and where he'd come from and how he got back into the club. He got a second chance having come out of prison for gang related offences and whatnot. It was actual travesty. But no, good luck to Sandro at the EFL Awards later in February. So, moving on, and thank you, Howard, for the update. Appreciated, and really, really good to hear the continuing good work that you and the team are doing in the community. Now, to move on, thanks for all your emails this week. Some of them make some very, very good points, and we could have a 2 hour, 3 hour long podcast just discussing those, but we've only got time to mention one email this week, and it comes from Zach Cohen, who says, I think our fan base are delusional. Putting aside the chaos behind the scenes, the players are just not good enough. Specifically, at fullback, Kennedy is a non-trier. He is consistently out of position and all too often lumps a hopeless ball forward. Nicky Hunt may be experienced, but looks just as clueless as Judd, who is not ready for first team football. I believe we have three players with an ounce of ability left: Semedo, Chisak and Atangana. I feel O's fans are too quick to criticise the manager. Edwards being referred to as Deadwood by the crowd doesn't help anyone. That said, he does seem somewhat out of his depth. Perhaps his departure could be beneficial. Hindsight being a wonderful thing. The fans' criticism of Hendon at the time I felt was appalling, and I feel fans should be more realistic with their expectations. He goes on to say, I feel our situation can be helped. As Jay said in your interview, away fan support is really felt. I think we need to encourage supporters to make the journey to watch the side away from home. A supportive fan base could be the positive influence the players need, given that FB's charisma has been missing of late.
Very clever.
Lastly, without a fit senior striker, I do worry about where the goals will come from. Sam Dolby is no Marcus Rashford. I think we need to go 4-5-1, crowd the centre of midfield and support the young striker up top. he finishes by saying, "Come on, you O's, Zach Cohen." So Zach, thank you very much indeed. I'm going to disagree with you slightly though with Callum Kennedy. I think Callum's been one of our more consistent players, and I don't really see I haven't rated Sandro, and for me Nigel's gone off the boil over the last 2 to 3 months.
Yep, so many good points made. So if you agree with what Zach had to say, let us know. Or if you disagree, do you agree with Paul there? Let us know on Twitter at Orient Outlook or via email at orientoutlook@outlook.com. And lastly, congratulations to Ben Churchill at Ben LOFC and to his wife Amy on the birth of their daughter Mimi. Yeah, another young O in the world. So yeah, well done,
congratulations,
Ben.
Congratulations to you.
Welcome to the journey that's fatherhood. And
no doubt you're listening to this while doing one of the numerous night feeds.
Yeah, so good luck in the morning. Yeah. So the week that was in, so Monday 30th of January, we recorded episode 92 in the evening. But soon after we finished recording, we were contacted by two sources who said that we were going to be signing a Stevenage player the following day, which leads us on nicely to
transfer deadline day. Now, sadly, we don't have that music. Otherwise, we play it cheesily in the background. But not usually one for really going back to old players. But recent XO Josh Doherty signed for Ards FC, who are in the Northern Irish semi-professional Danske Bank Premier League. So we wish you all the best, Josh. Not that you probably know that we're saying that, but yeah, good luck anyway.
He'll probably end up getting a big money move to like a Championship club or a Premier League.
No
club,
doubt he'll go on to a big Irish like Sligo Rovers or something, and then he'll get snapped up by a Championship
no
club,
doubt,
Reading
no
or
doubt,
something. Yeah,
no doubt. So in the first transfer news of the day for Orient, the current squad, the club announced that Ulrich Onomo has signed for Paris FC on loan until the end of the season. He signed a 1-year deal with the option for a second year with us. So we doubt he will take that, but we're more to come on Ulrich later in the episode.
Yeah, because not everything goes smoothly at Leighton Orient, as you may all be aware. Then around 3 o'clock, the club announced that Rowan Liebird had signed on loan from Stevenage until the end of the season. And then interestingly, I noticed that Stevenage signed promising Arsenal striker Kalen Hines. I thought it was worth mentioning the difference in the types of players that the clubs are going for. I'm sure Arsenal wouldn't have wanted. I don't know Rowan Liebird enough to criticise him, but his record doesn't speak that well. If you're going to go with someone like that over a promising young Arsenal protégé.
So your point is, why not go after the young Arsenal kid as opposed to a guy who couldn't get in the Stevenage team? Fair point. Very good point there, Mr. Levy.
Thank you very much.
Your views on Rowan?
To me, looks like a like-for-like replacement for Ollie Palmer. You know, I suppose the positives are that he hasn't experienced the loam around the negativity that's been around the club. Hopefully he'll be able to get the chance to show us what he can do. Obviously, with three of our four strikers leaving, our senior pro strikers leaving the club,
yeah.
Paul McCallum being injured, he's obviously going to get games. Credit to Rowan. I'm not going to write him off at all. I'll give him the support and the chance that he deserves. He's come up from non-league, gone to Reading, hasn't worked out at Reading, gone to Stevenage. For whatever reason, it's not working out at Stevenage, but you know, I think George Sessions did an interview with his old manager who rates him extremely highly.
You're
so,
right, he did today.
You know, we've got to give him a chance. He's not exactly coming into a buzzing dressing room or a buzzing team or a buzzing stadium. So, you know, can't fault the kid too much for saying, all right, yeah, if I'm going to get first team football, I'll come and give it a go.
Yeah, me.
Your views?
I don't know too much about him, really. I know Stevenage apparently paid 10 grand for him in the summer and he couldn't do anything at Stevenage, but like you said, hopefully he'll fit in, banging some goals. He's only 24, good record in non-league, but like you said, Reading didn't work out for him. Stevenage hasn't worked out. Should be in peak shape, should be raring to go. Could be a lewd signing, we shall see. So obviously following this signing, loads of views came in. So we'll mention a couple of what we got. So firstly, at Reedy, QB9 said, pretty uninspiring signing, but who are we realistically going to attract? Yeah. It's a body, if nothing else. I think that's a good point there.
Yeah, it's a fair point. At Orient Ballbag said, puzzled. We loan out a striker who struggles to score, then bring one in who struggles to get a game, let alone score a goal.
Yeah.
I know they're two negative tweets, but they kind of sum up where I think a lot of people are coming from.
Yeah, so then following on from that, around 3:30, it is announced that Ollie Palmer has joined Luton on loan until the end of the season. So obviously, Ollie's contract runs out in the summer, so that's probably the last we may have seen of Ollie in an Orient shirt.
Yeah, probably.
So your views on
How's he pulled off a loan move to Luton, who are in the playoffs?
Give that agent a slap on the back.
Mate, he has got the best agent in the world. Absolutely astounded by that. It's only a loan move, but if he comes on and does well, then fair enough. Good luck to him. He's a grafter. No one would deny that. He's the hardest working player we've had in the team. just he just doesn't have the goals that Simo and people like McCallum have. The interview that he did for Luton when he joined the club was that the gaffer wants another option up front to what they already have. And I suppose if you're trying to close a game out, you want someone up top if you're going to go 4-5-1 and closing it down from the front so that you don't immediately put pressure on the back. He does that. But you can have that luxury when you're at the top winning games and absolutely, you've got confidence breeding throughout the changing room. You know, at the bottom end, we need people that are scoring goals.
Yeah, and we always had that argument, didn't we? McCallum versus Palmer. McCallum, not so much of a workhorse, but likely to get you a goal. Whereas Palmer, workhorse, not likely to get you a goal. So for me, great move for Ollie. You know, I bet he can't believe his luck, like we've said. My thing about Ollie, always gave 110%, and that's why, you know, the crowd respected him so much and why he's a bit of a fan's favourite, because it wasn't for his goal-scoring abilities, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So all we can do is wish him the best of luck. He's about to go into fatherhood. It's a big year for him, and he could end up scoring the goal that takes Luton into League One. And he could, you know...
Imagine that. Imagine he scores the goal in the playoff final if they get into the playoffs. And
he could do it.
Or automatic.
The way some of the strikers have worked out recently, like your Marquises, other cash players, like your cash kits.
Them two score 30 goals this season.
You've been reading our tweets again, yeah.
30 goals between them.
I know. Who would have thought? We, you know, we could have
15
had...
15 each, they're on.
In theory, we could, in our last season, we could have had Kashka and Marquis lining up front. Front too, but... Hindsight's a wonderful thing, my friend.
Or good managers are, you know. Anyway, so those were our views. Your views. SamCast9 tweeted us saying 14 goals, 7 assists in 73 appearances. That's roughly 1 in 5. Is an awful record for a striker. I find it hard to believe a youth can't beat that.
I mean, that's 14 goals. I think he scored 2 against Staines in an FA Cup match, and he got a double also against Portsmouth. So there's a few doubles in there. At Paddock, Inspecto says he's a trier, he's strong, he's quick for a big man. In my honest opinion, he lacks edge in front of goal. Mm-hmm. Division 2, max is his level.
Yeah, at Orient Boy, the question is Luton and not Mugs. So what do they see or know about Ollie that we never found?
Very good point there. Scriberian Dan says he's an underrated player, in my opinion.
Okay, at Andy _PO16, didn't personally rate him, although he always gave his best. Saying that, given the lack of forwards, I'd rather he stayed.
Good point there. And I think when we come on to yesterday's match, I think what we were missing was an Ollie Palmer-esque type player. Coincidentally, we needed that big, strong player who could hold the ball up, which is exactly what we didn't have yesterday.
Yeah.
But I'll come on to yesterday in a while. Also, on transfer deadline day, so we're doing it chronologically as the day happened, the under-18s beat Dagenham Redbridge 6-2, with Josh Caroma scoring 4 goals. Also one for Charlie Barker, as he continues to make his way back from his injury. So well done, Charlie. And also one for Andrew Camilo Tayaka, which is a new name to me. So good to see another face on the score sheet for the Yellows.
Absolutely agree with you. 3 fixtures in League 2 were played on Monday. Tuesday evening, yes. Beg your pardon. The one that really had the impact on us was Luton versus Cheltenham. And a bit of an unexpected result there saw Cheltenham beat Luton 3-2, which saw them move up to 28 points and then up to 20th in the league. So they're getting a cheeky little run together, Cheltenham.
Cheltenham, lots of activity in the transfer window. I've got some points where they really had no right to get them. And a great win there for Cheltenham, who were pulling away from the danger zone. And then once that happened, we thought, oh, we can go to bed now and have a nice quiet evening. But little did we know, about 9:55, the club said, there's 5 minutes, we're going to announce another transfer. And then announce at 10 p.m, the loan signing of Bournemouth 21-year-old winger Jordan Green until the end of the season on loan. So Jordan joins. He was recently at Newport earlier in the season. Mr. Levy, your views, or should I give mine?
Yeah, glad to have one more promising youngster in the side. Really good that we've got something of a relationship with Bournemouth. Maybe that's thanks to XO and our former schoolmate Steve Purchase. Yeah,
Geary's
and Valentine's.
Yeah.
We need more bodies in the squad, and this is obviously a welcomed addition. Obviously disappointed that we've got rid of so many, but you know, maybe a bit of a clear out was needed. Change a few attitudes in the changing room, get a bit more positivity going. You know, maybe everything does happen for a reason. You know, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and you know, we can only call it as we see it. But yeah, no, good to have him in.
Yeah, I mean, we needed a winger. We obviously needed someone on the left wing, so a bit of a no-brainer. So glad he's come in. We were linked with a few wingers on Tuesday. Yeah. So he's been at Newport. I think he got 2 in 14 at Newport, if I'm not wrong. But if he's decent and if he's fit and he's registered, which we'll come on to in a bit, I would expect him to get a starting place on the left wing immediately.
Yeah,
I think I would expect him to come in, but we shall see. So lots of tweets again. rounded up nicely by just mentioning Sean Mercer's tweet, who said, both the players we have got in, I would suspect their wages are covered by their clubs, so no money spent and both unknown. So nothing coming out of Bichetti's pocket, or that's the implication that, yeah, that we got by those loan signings. And then the night ended, and just two things to mention.
Interestingly, former loanee Harry Cornick signed on loan for Gillingham, and also former Orient loanee Ryan Hedges signed a permanent deal at Barnsley for an undisclosed fee. So good luck to both of them in their future careers. You know, Harry's gone from us and gone up to Gillingham, who have gone through a bit of a rough patch with us. But yeah, is what it is, you know, transfer window shut.
Yeah, and that's it.
Couple out and couple in. And
yeah, so apart from free agents, you can't sign anyone on loan or from any other clubs. So what will be, which leads us on to Wednesday, 1st of February. Mm-hmm. So in the morning, Paris FC announced on their website, and it's first picked up by George Sessions, that Ulrich Enomo's loan transfer cannot be completed because he played a reserve game for Châteauroux Reserves and FIFA rules now don't allow players to play for more than two teams per season. So he's back at Orient and available for selection, which is just simply bizarre. But you know, a lot of negative tweets came in about that, but it also has happened to other clubs. It's happened to Gillingham, who signed the guy from Barnet, wasn't it?
No, Bonzangala from Eastleigh.
Who played for Barnet, and it's also happened to Crewe. So it's caught a few league clubs out, and hopefully...
Because it's a new rule. It only came in this season, so...
But you would think players' agents or scouts or recruitment...
The club.
People would be on top of that. So Ulrich will be definitely with us until the end of the season.
It's another body in the building. It gives us another option. I know a couple of people have said, from what little they have seen of him, they don't rate him at all. Maybe given a run of games, maybe we'll see something different.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that people like Caroma gets picked ahead of him. And obviously Jordan Green's coming in that position. So obviously not fancied by anywhere. Danny. But interesting to see he's not been released. Like, he's still on the contract. Because if they released him, he could...
Could they?
I don't know.
Because what happened to Cox?
Don't know how that would work. But obviously he's still getting paid, still picking up a cheque. But interesting one that. Yeah, maybe Ulrich does have a part to play. We shall see.
Okay, so moving on then. Thursday the 2nd of February now. Phil Parry from BBC London interviewed Danny Webb, who told him that despite rumours Alex Chisak will be available for selection on Saturday, should he choose to select.
Yeah, so lots of rumours were starting to emerge in midweek, early in the week, that Chisak will be frozen out. But Danny Webb putting those rumours to rest on Thursday. But obviously, a lot more to follow on Alex Chisak later in the podcast.
Absolutely.
It's Friday, 3rd of February. Danny Webb spoke to George Sessions about the upcoming Carlisle match and said, Saturday will be a tough test, but any games in League 2 are, and you have sides like Doncaster Rovers and Plymouth Argyle who are running away with it. Carlisle are one of the strongest teams we have faced this season, but I'm trying to put the focus on our players and how we want to play. I want to give the fans something to get a little bit excited about, because it's very easy when you're second bottom to be negative and you can worry too much about the opposition and the tactics they'll play. So I like that. I did like that quote.
What you're saying there is, you're going to play your way, opposing team. We're going to play our way, and we're just going to try and be better than you.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Not simplifying it, basically, rather than saying, well, they're going to do this and worrying to the nth degree what they're going to do, because the game may not play out like that.
Yep.
So let's worry about what we're going to do with and without the ball. So very, very interesting. George Sessions also commented on how impressed he was with Danny, and watching an interview on Orient Player, it must be said, Danny spoke a lot of sense and seemed very, very comfortable. So that's also very good to see as well.
Yeah, congrats to Omer Reza on stepping up to assist Danny, as well as Michael Amoa, who also steps up from the academy, which leaves just the one question to ask. Is there anyone actually left in the academy?
Last one out, turn the lights off.
Boys, we're available. We're raring to go. We're sure we could do a good job there.
I'll go to Sports Direct and get some new boots.
Could be Turner and sitting all over again. That's Bellman leading the youth onto the championship.
Great piece of news is the club reveal that Paul McCallum's injury will keep him out for a few weeks rather than a few months. But apparently, Paul told fans after the game on Saturday against Carlisle that he will be back next Saturday. So that will be the game away at Yeovil.
Very interesting. So Saturday, 4th of February, yesterday, we had Carlisle at home. The team was announced and the big talking point was the keeper. Sam Sargent was named in goal. Back four was Judd, Hunt, Parks and Kennedy. Midfield four were Massey, Atengana, Collins and Samello, with Sam Dalby. Lee Bird up front. Subs, Charlie Granger. So no Alex Chisak in the squad. Teddy Mezigay, Ivan Errico, Sammy Moore, Liam Kelly, Josh Cromer and Victor Adebayo. So that's four changes from the Mansfield game. Sargent, Judd, Atangana and Rowan Lebo to start. Liam Kelly also included in the match day squad for the first time since October. Came out there that winger Jordan Greed not included in the squad due to registration issues. I think it's the Welsh FA still hold his registration, obviously being at Newport. So disappointingly, he wasn't in the squad because I think he would have started by what I'd be inclined to agree. So your thoughts on the team lineup?
Yeah, obviously all the pre-match talk was about Alex Trissac being left out, Danny Webb's choice.
Yeah.
And obviously the impact our situation, and for me, what concerned me was the impact that our situation could have on young Sam Sargent's career. To me, it's all very, very strange. Also, how Charlie Granger's not been anywhere near the first team. No news about that, but apparently he'd been carrying an injury on his foot or something. So, you know, that makes sense. But, you know, I did quite like the lineup with a mix of youth and experience, and I thought a fairly decent back four with Hunt and Parks at centre back, Kennedy and Judd at left and right back. So what can you do? You've got a bare bones squad. You've got a threadbare squad. Yeah. You're not going to expect. What are you going to expect?
For me, I agree. Not bad. You know, as strong as we could have hoped for. To be honest, Chizek. I think Chizek's. We'll come on to Chizek after, obviously. But a very big call there from Webb. Obviously, he said he was available for selection. It doesn't even put him on the bench. Yeah. I think that was the main. A very controversial point. Obviously, if Sargent started having Chizek on the bench, people would go, oh, maybe he's not been frozen out. But the fact that he wasn't on the bench has maybe alluded to people thinking he was frozen out. Great to see Liam Kenny come back on the bench. And for me, central midfield, which looked weak, now looks much stronger. You've got Atangana, Moore, Collins, and Kelly once he's fit. So that's four good.
And then we're coming central back. Central midfielders,
Weir, if he comes back. Massey, that right wing spot is Massey's. No one's taken that from Massey. And then on the left, you've got Caroma. Samedo's holding that down. Hopefully, Jordan Greed will be talented and will be able to do something. So that's three players, hopefully, vying for that left-winger spot. And up front, no real surprises yesterday. Obviously, Lee Bird and Dalby. But then, obviously, once McCallum comes back, you can pick any three from those three or one from those three if you want to play five in midfield. So it's not all doom and gloom, but obviously a massive reaction on Twitter following that team announcement. So El Coado says, if I'm honest, this does not look like a team who will be strong enough to win against Carlisle, let alone keep us up.
At Kevin Cowland, why would you not select an available keeper who's been arguably our best player this season? Vandalism of our club continues.
John Macken, 1977, said, I assume Chizak's head isn't right after being messed about. Great team, though, with options on the bench.
At Orient Dave, whatever the reasons, Chizak needs to play. Chucking a kid in goal in this situation is outrageous.
Yeah, at Ox Ooch, says, one of the youngest teams we've ever put out for a league game? Question mark. Good job there's nothing riding on this one, then. Liked it.
Yeah,
liked
it. So the match kicked off. Decent atmosphere. I think there was a lot of positivity, a lot of people talking pre-match about getting behind the team and really supporting them. So good start from both teams. Orient really did look good. We looked like we were getting at Carlisle quite early on, and you could see why Carlisle are doing so well. They play some pretty nice football as well. First 15 minutes, they were pretty even, and then in the 18th minute, a free kick to Carlisle. Passed into Jabo Ibiri, and the prodigal son fired over the north stand, and I shouted out, "Is one of our own," and then about a minute later
people started singing it.
But you know, good chance for him.
Yeah.
And they were playing some nice keeple.
Yeah, and then 25th minute, a good atmosphere got even better as Brisbane Road erupted. Sergeant goal kick, long ball, got flicked on by the head of a Carlisle player into the path of Gavin Massey, ran onto it well, beat his man, and then had a shooting opportunity and just absolutely smashed it as hard as he could under the keeper, and it went in right in front of us in the south stand, and
that was amazing.
South stand went mental, and it was, you know, very apt that all outfield players went straight over to Massey, bit of a bundle. Even Theo, I don't know if you saw it, done a knee slide. That's on the Football League show.
Is it?
Yeah, people were going mental. Great finish, laces through it. I think maybe for me, their keeper might have been able to do better. He maybe should have got down a bit quicker.
It went under him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hit his lat and went under
him. Shot up into the back of the net. But I think that was a well-deserved lead there. And great to see Massey get a goal. Massey has been much better in recent weeks, I would say. And a great start for Danny Webb's managerial career for Orient.
Yeah, and then less than 10 minutes later, Carlisle equalised. They were awarded a free kick just outside the box. Sam Sargent did absolutely brilliantly to save the free kick. But unfortunately, he parried it sort of into the 6-yard box, and Gary Liddle tapped home the rebound. Now, to me, I'm not sure if that's offside or not. I'm going to question that being offside because I'm sure it is.
I don't think anyone appealed that one.
But no one appealed it, yeah. So it was unlucky for Sam Sargent because he'd done the hard bit.
I think he was let down by his centre-backs.
Potentially.
Massively, because there was no one. The guy at Lidl was just there by himself. No one near him. And Sargent's done all you can ask a Sargent. I think that was a very good save. And an easy tap home there for Lidl. But who was marking Lidl and who was concentrating on for the rebound? No one, because they obviously scored from it. So very disappointing we couldn't hold the lead for longer. Then the rest of the half has played out. Carlisle started to get the upper hand. I think people started to get a bit nervy. I would say the last 5 minutes, they were cutting through us really easily. 3 minutes of injury time were played. Nothing happened. No. And the half-time whistle went at 1-1.
Decent first half that, I thought. Yeah, much more improved.
Much improved, good atmosphere. See a bit more what we were trying to do. Bit better spirited on the pitch, I would say.
People
making
tackles hard
they weren't making before, putting their bodies on the line, more communication.
Yeah.
Danny Webb looking very smart, very dapper.
Yeah.
I think Matt Simpson
My favourite line, I think one of the best lines, he looked like a Romford estate agent. But he looked very dapper.
He did. And you know what he had said had obviously worked before the game. Players looked motivated and up for it. I think Rowan Lieber, I think he'd done okay. I think he won a few flick-ons. He'd done alright. I think
it wasn't a bursting start.
I think he's been slated quite a bit, maybe a bit unfairly.
But I don't think he has got match fitness or match sharpness.
Absolutely. So there's no one else to play, was there?
No. So the attendance was announced at 4,306, which is quite low, particularly when 677 of them were from Carlisle. Now, Carlisle have never had that many fans. They barely even used to get that, half of that, when we were.
Yeah, but
when they weren't third in the league.
Third in the league, yeah.
So, second half kicked off, no changes for Orient, and then just 4 minutes into the second half, Jabo Ibere is played in, and Sam Sargent saved brilliantly as he forces Jabo to hit the side netting. Jabo thought he was offside, and
he shot like he was offside.
Stopped sort of thing, didn't he?
Very lucky. When you sit back and tell it, he should have done better, and you can tell from his reaction, he just puts his like arms on his head to say, should have done better.
That's why he's one of our own.
One of our own, mate.
We taught him everything he knows.
He did. Jabo never scored again. It has been red unless he's playing for Orient again. So, 60th minute, Sammy Moore came on for Rowan Liebird. I thought, you know, like I just said, Rowan did all right. You know, he won a few in the air, clearly tiring at the hour mark. And credit to Total Orient. So, we've taken one of their tweets who said Orient went to a 4-3-3 with Dalby up top, Semedo and Massey out wide, Moore on alongside Atangana and Collins in the middle. So, I changed formation there from Danny. You're not keeping it. At 4-4-2.
Love to see in-game changes.
Yeah,
you know, if he's not working, let's try something different.
Yep.
So we're shoring up the defence a bit, but also springing the attack as well.
Yep.
So you can easily go 4-5-1 off the back of that. So
that
really like it. Yeah. 66th minute, Jabo comes off and gets a great ovation. I'm sure a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek. I'm sure he knows it. It's a bit of a mickey take.
A little bit, but
he knows it, and he knows he's loved at Leighton Orient because he came back for a... He came back for a match. It was a charity match. I can't remember who it's for. And like Jabo loves the club.
He does.
He loves being here. He's really appreciated. Point to note though, he did go to the supporters club afterwards and he did give a speech. I don't know what he said. We don't know what he said because he
top
wasn't here.
Jabo.
But top man, Jabs. Fair play.
So 2 minutes after he comes off and didn't want to score against us. Unfortunately, Jamie Proctor did as he gave Carlisle the lead as he tapped in after Sargent saved Waring's header. So Carlisle broke away. The ball looked to us like it was clearly out of play when their man on the wing was running with it.
Yeah.
He crossed it in, Waring headed it. Sargent made a brilliant save, but the ball fell to Proctor a few yards out. And again, the same problem where he's standing there, no one near him. So I think the guy behind me, Waring, was saying Sargent done much better there. I thought Sargent done well.
And Waring said he could have done much better.
I don't know. For me,
I'm inclined to agree because he's parried. I fully agree with Warren because what Sam should have done was he should have pushed it over, get a corner, regroup, we'll go again. Instead, what he's done is he's parried it into the path, or he's parried it back into a danger zone. And unless one of our guys, our defenders, are there to clear it off, literally they've got poachers. Jamie Proctor is not going to hang around and ask for a second chance. He's going to score.
I think
anyone at the top would do that.
I think you're being harsh on the keeper there. I think that's more of a defender's responsibility to be on Proctor than Sam Sargent. Sam Sargent has saved that header and he's moving the other way. So he's moving to his left and he's having to go to his right to get the ball, and the way the way your body goes is he's had to push it that way. And I think again,
but he could have just palmed it over.
Where's Parks? I don't. He could have, because it was so fast. But again, this is the difference between the great goalkeepers and the young keeper. Yeah. I don't think Chizet would have got that over the bar. I think Chizet would have made the same save. But again, let down by the defence and 2-1 to them. And then it was kind of game on and going to be challenging. But let us know what you think about the Sergeant. Was he at fault for the goals? Could he have done better for both?
I don't want to be
obviously, you know, both rebounds. But I think it's very harsh to say he was at fault for the goals personally.
No, he can be at fault. I don't think it's harsh. It's right that responsibility is taken for errors and mistakes in games. There's nothing harsh about it. Generally, I thought Sam Sargent acquitted himself extremely well, and I tweeted that last night to him. I said, you made the step up and you didn't look out of place. I genuinely believe that. However, for that, I think he should have put it over the bar rather than back into the 6-yard box.
I tell you what, the thing is harsh though. That ball was out of play, clearly, and it wasn't given.
See, I watched
it
on telly.
The ref was terrible yesterday. So I sit with Paul and I sit with a guy called Graham, and they're very, most games someone will moan about the referee, and I'm very quick to shoot down the ref moaning, because I think it comes back around. But yesterday that ref was probably as bad as what I've ever seen. It was
moving ball when the ball wasn't moving. Oh, you're 2 yards further than where you should be to take the throw.
Yeah, a few things like that. Yeah,
unbelievable.
He just wasn't a very good ref, and he wasn't very consistent.
Exactly. But from the replay that I've seen of their goal, I can't tell if the ball went out.
Oh, okay. I thought it was out. Someone had put a photo up and it looked like it had gone out. But
right, okay.
Fine margins when you football games, and you've got to play until the whistle, unfortunately.
Exactly.
So following that goal, again from Total Orient, says Orient at 4-2-3-1 now. Collins on the left, Massey on the right, Semedo central behind Dalby. So Semedo...
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So 76 minute, the goal hero, Jamie Proctor, picked up a second yellow card in quick succession for a bad tackle and more, got his marching orders.
Yeah.
So last 15 minutes, we play against 10 men.
Yeah, and the reason why I say interesting, because sitting in the south stand, it's more difficult...
You don't see it from...
For
like
where we see it, to see the changes like that and how they play out at all the time. So it's good that others do pick that up. In the 77th minute, we see Victor Adebayejo come on to replace Sam Dalby.
I think Dalby found it hard again. It didn't get much.
Didn't get into the game as much.
He's finding it a bit tough.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, it's a good experience and good learning for him.
Don't forget, he's so young. He's
only 16, 17, so it mustn't be too critical or harsh on
the kids.
Fair enough. 83rd minute, Teddy Mezeguet came on for Callum Kennedy, who had injured himself.
Yes, he did,
unfortunately, so we wish you well, Callum.
Yeah, and in 5 minutes injury time added on. 90th minute, Samela crossed it in at Angana, flicked the ball over the bar, and I think at that point we all knew really that I didn't expect an equaliser.
No, we did press them a lot more in the last 5 minutes, though. We were camped a lot more in their half than them in ours.
We made them fight for the points, but you know, rest of injury time got played,
which is different to what we've done previously this season.
Yes,
in that teams have come here and easily taken 3 points from us. They had to work for their
three points.
That's an extremely good point to make.
They did. The full time whistle went, and Danny Webb's first match in charge ended in defeat. And a stat we saw that we liked on Twitter said Orient have lost 5 consecutive league games. For the first time since March/April 2012, LOFC have now lost 12 of the last 16 in all competitions. And unfortunately, that is relegation form.
Exactly. Danny Webb spoke after the match. He said, when we were 2-1 down, the fans were great. And I think that is because they saw that we didn't throw the towel in. That's exactly why the fans got behind the team, because
the
team
were
working hard.
Yes.
You can take losing if you've worked hard and just been a bit unlucky and made a couple. We made 2 mistakes all game. Otherwise, Sam Sargent had a very quiet game.
Yeah.
He had 2 things to do.
I don't think the first goal was a mistake. I think it was a sensational save. I think nobody followed up.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
So we made two mistakes in our team. And it's cost us, unfortunately. Anyway, I'm not saying the players have done that previously, but heads have dropped before, and that happens when you're down there. But today, heads didn't drop, which is absolutely bang on.
Yeah, and I'm Alex Chizak, Danny Webb said. It's nothing Alex has done particularly wrong. It is just like leaving other players out. But obviously, I understand the goalkeeper gets more attention, and rightly so, because he has been the number one. But I had it in my mind what I wanted to do, and I'll make the decisions. But I'll always talk to people before. I had a chat with Alex because I didn't want to read the team out in the dressing room and everybody wonder why he's not playing. So obviously that was dominating the social media headlines. And Alex Chizak came out and tweeted the following message after the match.
Yeah, he said, as much as I'm disappointed to have not played today, the manager explained his decision to me and I respect that. I have not asked to leave the club and remain fully committed to helping the team in any way I possibly can, which is you know, full blown credit to Alex Chisette.
Absolutely. You know, without that statement there, with Alex put out, people Nips would still be questioning it tonight. Yeah, so well done to Alex Chisette, and you can only respect the guy for getting it out so quickly.
Still don't know why Danny Webb dropped him, but that's another question.
Yeah, that's a question for another day. Dulcet Dave also tweeted and also said, Danny said he has good quality players and good characters, but he's going to look at the list of out-of-contract players and see who is available. So, like, you've got your Berbatov's available.
You imagine on a short-term contract, mate, signed Dimitar Berbatov?
With Leighton Orient, right, you can never say no.
100 grand a week.
You can never say no.
Berbs, like, come.
Yeah, it wouldn't, if something completely outrageous happened. I'm not saying it will happen.
He would tear up this league. Well, it would never come. Well, this is all kind of like
Andre De Sena would tear up this league.
Yeah.
Turn this into his debut, that scissor kick from the halfway line. So league table,
come on.
Yeah, that defeat men will stay 23rd in League 2. So currently play 28, 1-7, drawn 4, lost 17. Goal difference now -14, 25 points. Teams around us, just a quick round up. Newport got a very late equaliser versus Cheltenham, so that finished 1-1. It's probably the best result that we could have got out of, I think. And Notts County, one place above us, lost 2-0 to Accrington. So again, it's all very tight around that area. So
yeah,
your views on yesterday's match?
My views last night, I actually tweeted from my @super0 1881 account. I said, an improved LOFC performance today, a work in progress and still some way to go, but a decent platform to build on. Ref let us down badly today, which I still 100% stand by. But to add to that, I thought we saw more effort and determination from the team. I thought Nigel and Michael Collins were a bit off the pace today. I think I would have started with Sammy Moore over Nigel, but during the game, for me, I'd have changed Sandro probably around the hour mark as well for Caroma. Give him a good 30 minutes, get him into the game.
That's a good point. Like we just reported earlier, Caroma scored 4 goals in a youth match on the Tuesday and unfortunately didn't get on the pitch. Good shout there.
I would have brought him on earlier. And also, I'd have taken... I would have done the Liebird for Adebayejo around the hour mark as well. So, not that I'm any experienced manager, but that's just the couple of changes that I'd have made. I'm not really that keen on Semedo this season. He's really, gone off the ball a bit for, you know, multitude of reasons, I'm sure. I can't say that he doesn't seem fully committed. I've written he doesn't seem fully committed, but actually I'm not sure that's right. I just think he's just been affected by stuff that's gone on. And as a young player in his first full season in the first team, you know, it's obviously affecting his form.
First 5 games season, different class. He was unbelievable. People were, you know, when Cox couldn't get in that team, people were like, don't worry, we've got Sandro. You know, now it's...
He was an option, but whereas now it's like, why not get rid of him and put Caroma in? Your views?
A much improved performance, I would agree with you. And I thought the work ethic was there, although, you know, we offered a little up front. It was very tough for Dorby and Lieber to get into it.
Feeding off scraps.
Thought we defended better for most of the game. I thought more than what we have done in a while. But we have to be more of an attacking threat. But don't forget Carlisle. They're further in the league. They're a good team, and Danny should be proud of his players. Like you have actually made a note saying Semedo was a bit poor. He just doesn't seem to have a decent knowledge of what's going on around him, like a decent footballing brain, but I'm sure that will come given time and experience, and I don't want to keep digging him out because that's not what we try and do on this podcast. But I've already said it, I think Green will come in when he's registered. I'd expect Green to start imminently.
Yeah.
I think Sargent done well, and for me it'd be very interesting to see if Alex will be back in goal on Tuesday. So coming on to that, after the match we had a Twitter poll and asked you who you think should be in goal against Morecambe on Tuesday.
Yeah, so in third place with 6% of the vote was Charlie Granger.
Yeah.
Second with 31% was young Sam Sargent. And the winner with 63% of the vote, overwhelmingly, was Alex Chisak.
Yep, so thanks for all your votes. And I think we had 194 votes. So not bad amount of people. Obviously, by no means the entire fan base. But interesting to see. Sargent definitely had a lot more votes than what he would have done prior to that game. So we will see on Tuesday what that team's announced. So those were our views. Plenty of your views. We'll start with a message from MP Allen 222 who DM'd us and said, there seems to be a lot of criticism for Webb/FB lying about Chisak getting dropped and suggesting that he's been frozen out. But maybe Webb is telling the truth. With Chisak out of contract in the summer, assuming that will not be renewed, perhaps Webb feels that Sargent Granger are his keepers next year. As Sargent's been on the bench most of the season, it's probably fair that he should start and he's put Granger on the bench just to get him back involved in the matchday squad to get him ready for next season. If it truly is up to Webb, then I would suspect that Chisak will be at least in the squad at some point in the next 2 to 3 matches. Webb is a new manager, probably worked with Sarge and Granger in the youth setup, so knows them well, and he said he wanted to try something different. And let's not forget that despite the fact Chizak has saved us many times this season, he's also made some big errors too. So I'm going to trust Webb on this one and give him the benefit of the doubt. And that was from Mitch, so yeah. A good little DM there, interesting.
Lots of good points, but is now the time really to start trying new things in a relegation fight with young players?
Absolutely, let us know
your views on that.
Let us know your views on that. That seems to be a big topic of debate, so at Orient Outlook, give us a tweet or on email at orientoutlook@outlook.com or on Facebook.
Send us a message. Message came in today from Jamie Stripe. Jamie, thanks for getting in touch with us. Made a few good points here. Says a few quick points from yesterday. We were doing fine up until they scored. Webb seems to have at least injected a bit of life into proceedings, if nothing else. Hearing him being interviewed, he does come over in a similar way to Martin Ling when he first took over here, and at least we could see the team take the game to the opposition more, which I couldn't agree with you more.
Yep.
Second point, he says, Chizak, I can understand the decision to drop him. Fine, it happens. I can't fathom why your number one keeper is bombed out of the whole squad for Granger, who hasn't been near a bench place for almost 9 months. A rumour on the message board last Wednesday predicted that Chizak was going the same way as Cox, and this didn't do much to quash that. I get that Webb is ambitious and wants a proper crack at this, but if he is going to implement the will of a club president who is clearly killing this club off now, it is just the sort of thing that has undermined confidence throughout the club. Hess, Hendon, Nolan and Edwards all knew how this place works and have had their credibility damaged by being party to stuff that they question in private but give credence to in public. It's the sort of stuff that is rotting the club from within and is usually rewarded with being fired by the owner. I'd like to think that Webb will build up a spirit that will dig Orient out of this mess. Covering up for the owner's questionable decision-making won't help bring that about. Rant over.
Yep, so cheers to Jamie and Mitch for their DMs. Both made fantastic points. So we also got loads of tweets. A selection of what we received as follows from at LenM4Firstly, who says, as much as I appreciate... Oh, there's another tweet just coming. To get with that. As much as I appreciate good effort, that means nothing if you can't get anything from the game.
Yeah.
Another missed opportunity.
Yep. At Simon08 Edward said, to lose one goal off the keeper making a good save is unfortunate, but two, from back to front, our spine looks weak.
Yeah, good point. At Chaz Porch said, we play better, tried hard, but that's not going to be enough. Can't see where the goals are going to come from.
Richie J. Bourne, team effort 100%, quality 30%. Nigel Atengana, great at the start of the season, but a massive disappointment now. Liability.
Yeah, your favourite, that one, isn't he?
Yeah, Nigel, he is.
@Charlie_Paul says, Tuesday is a must win now. A draw would not be a good result at home to Morecambe. We have to pick up 3 points. Interesting hearing David Webb about potentially bringing free agents in. Sorry, Danny, yeah. He seems confident he will be allowed to do so, which makes me ask the question, has FB agreed to sell? Strange he'd let Danny Webb sign and not AE. Maybe he's on his way. I think that's very optimistic thinking now, I've got to be honest. I don't think he's on his way, but no, we shall see.
Giorgio Irwin, 77. Totally different game today. Not totally one-sided for the first time in a while. Quality still lacking, especially at the back.
Yeah, at Marcus Maynard's. So just not enough quality. Plenty of heart, but not enough quality. Can't play versus 10 for as long as we did and not trouble them. Good point. For the 15 minutes where we had a man more, but their keeper wasn't really called into action. We had pressure, but didn't make him make a save, that keeper.
Yep. At Marcus Maynard said, just not enough quality.
No, I've already said that.
Oh, sorry.
One.
Lee Kinsley, too. Beg your pardon. Said, Carlisle didn't look top three today. We deserved the draw. Well done, players, and well done, Danny.
Yeah, Chelsea Fish says, if you can't force the opposition keeper into one second half save, you will never win the game. A good level effort, though. No threat.
At M0PHO said, we wasn't outclassed and we wasn't a pushover. Not often we've been able to say that this season. Keep it up, Danny.
Good positive tweet. Yeah. Barry Greystock says, why would you drop your first choice keeper when we're in a dogfight? Surely you need the experience.
Yeah, the authentic Gaz tweeted us saying, the boys showed some heart and spirit today for a change. Deserved a point, but it wasn't to be, I'm afraid.
Yeah, at Kempi No Fear says, no imagination or vision in possession around the box. That's a great point. At points, we had it in a good position, but there's no movement ahead of the player who had the ball, which means there's no pass on, which means the ball literally goes nowhere.
Yeah, slightly harsh, I think, from Joe Jessner 16, who tweeted us saying, interested to see if there are any fans out there who think we should persevere with Judd. Seems a liability to me.
Yeah, controversially. I think Judd's done very well.
Don't agree with that.
He's done very well.
Yeah, let us know what you think about Joe Jessner, J-E-S-S, ENER16. Feel free to include him in that tweet as well.
Very harsh, Mr. Levy. Orient fan 81 says, try it hard today, but no quality whatsoever. Cannot see where the next one is going to come from.
At LOFC 1971, people should remember Kalala top three. Not likely we were going to win today. Bigger games to come that are must win. Fair comment.
Yeah, yeah. Unexpected item zero says, better, more fight today. Absolutely no edge up front though. And the situation with Chizak is idiotic. FB is meddling yet again.
D David,
said,
deserve something special. Deserve something today. Players were gutted at the end. We must support them again on Tuesday. Survival can be achieved.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good positive.
A very similar one from that only one team, just gutted. Played well first half, but once again faded second half. Sam was unlucky with both goals, and we didn't have enough going forward. Tuesday is now massive.
And I think Ben D. Bollard gets the final word. Yes. That summarises a lot of what's been said already. Lots of heart and effort, short of quality, especially up front. Very proud to see the youngsters playing despite the situation, which is an extremely good point.
So those are all tweets into at Orient Outlook. So thanks for all the tweets we got. We can't mention all of them, otherwise you're looking at a podcast which is double the length, which nobody wants. So
just go to our timeline if you want to see what others said.
Yes, absolutely. So prediction league update. So well done to at Osfan Basing, at Giorgio Owen 77, who predicted 2-1, and an extra slap on the back for at Strop _ O, who predicted 2-1, and Matty to score, picking up the bonus points. So that means in the top of the league, Osfan Basing, second correct prediction within a week. So 2 out of 2 there for Osfan Basing. So he goes joint first.
Yeah, if you got the lottery numbers, let us know.
Yes, we've got Nino Barone 27, Joe _ Pavitt second, and Giorgio Owen moves up as well into third. Full table on our Facebook page. It's all up for grabs, and there will be some kind of smallish prize this year. So get your predictions in. We'll get something sorted.
We need to sort that out.
It might be a signed piece of paper from me and you, but it'll be a little prize of some sort.
Picture opportunity. No. Fancy Football League update. Barry Underwood, well done to you. Yeah, you now lead on 1,318 points. Just 7 points ahead of Elliot Hartfree-Pierce. Steve, you've moved up to 26. Well done, my son.
Mate,
well
done. Don't let us down. If I can get into the top 20 this year, I'll be happy after my terrible Christmas period. So, yep, 62 players. I'm 26, but you know, it's
doing
all,
well.
It's all kicking off at the top of the fantasy football league.
So keep me well done, everybody.
On top of that, so positives and negatives from the last week. We do have positives. So firstly, should I do positives?
Yeah, go for it.
So first of all, better performance against Carlisle. I think from the tweets we've seen, everyone's saying that much better.
Yeah.
Second positive, Liam Kelly on the bench. That's massive. He's our goal scoring threat from central midfield, and will give us something that the others aren't giving us.
Who would you have then when Liam Kelly's fit? What would your starting midfield two be?
Good question. I think Kelly
and
probably Nige, because I love him so much.
I do, but I'd have Kelly and Collins.
I don't think, I'm not sure they're going to be able to play together.
Oh, they're two of the same, aren't they?
I think so. I think you're looking at Kelly Moore, Kelly. But then maybe when Kelly's back, maybe you go 4-5-1 and you put a defensive one and then two attacking. Or different options there for Danny Webb. Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good question. Let us know who you think, you know, or an outlook. Who should be the central midfield partnership when Kelly's available again? And the last positive, fans, though fantastic. We were fantastic yesterday.
West Ham were singing.
Even when we were behind, still leading them on. So that was good. Same needed again on Tuesday night for a vital home game.
100% agree. Great positives there. Negatives this week, sadly another defeat. Time is running out in the season.
Yeah, 28 games played.
We've only got 18 left to save ourselves. Almost. What do we need? 51, 52 points probably to stay up?
I don't think we'll need that much. I reckon you're looking at a low 40,
mid-40s. So, you know, we need another 25, really another 25 points. So, you know, you're only talking, well, eight out of 18 when we've only won 7 in 28. It's a lot. And obviously the Alex Chisak situation, which is just not what you want. You want to be able to focus on stuff that's going on the team and not
stuff
like being frozen out. I think we should end with, one time we should end with that Frozen song.
Or Let It Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, I've heard that enough times today. So
Right. Hero of the week this week. We have got a hero this week.
Give it the old.
The Romford estate agent, lookalike, Mr. Danny Webb.
Well done, Danny.
The Leighton Orient manager has been in the job for a week and he looks like he's put his stamp on things already. Next week's fixtures, we've got two very important fixtures coming up this week. First of all, we have the visit of Morecambe on Tuesday night. It's a must win match for us. We must get 3 points out of that. Morecambe are currently 17th in League Two after picking up really a decent point.
Very good point.
In a 1-1 draw away from Doncaster, having taken the lead in that game. So,
and goal poacher John Marquis obviously scored for Doncaster.
Obviously. So we then travel to Yeovil next Saturday. They're 15th in the league after drawing 1-1 away to Hartlepool. Really, we need to be taking at least 4 points, if not six, from both of those
fixtures. I think that's realistic. Well, you would look at the fixtures and go, well, you could really take 4 points from that home win and a draw.
I don't think that you can in our situation. That's what we need, but that's not
what we would say could be different.
What you would expect. That's not what you would expect. That's what you hope.
Yeah,
for me.
And you can hear all about those matches in episode 94, which will follow next week.
That's a good little link there.
So that brings us to the end of another episode. So thanks for joining us for episode 93.
You said we don't do this often.
We do. So it's been another strange week at the O's. Transfer deadline day came and went, along with Ulrika Nomo, who win and came back. You like it?
Yeah, hearing it out loud is brilliant.
Good, along with Jordan Green, who wasn't even registered properly to play. So on the pitch, the same result, but a much more encouraging performance. So our fingers crossed for two big performances this week in two vital games. So if you're going, sing up for the Orient, support the boys, and you know, give us a tweet. So we'll be back, episode 94 next week, with all the information and views that you could ever need. So we look forward to hearing from you. And as always, keep calm and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week and up the O's.
Yep.